I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doctor. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And on this show, we have some really interesting stuff. I know I always say we have stuff, but this time it's really interesting. I hope it always is. By the way, you like my new shirt? This is a really cool shirt. It's very patriotic. Yes. As well as being a Christian shirt. Probably can't see it, but it's got, you know, like, cross and everything on it. Dude, I like it. And it's comfortable. It feels good. You know? That's good in a shirt. Or in pants. Or underwear. You know? I like comfort. My hat's comfortable. Anyway. Boy, did I digress. What we have to show you today is highly, highly useful. Was useful for me. That's why I did it. There's that. Anyway, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We're also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. I love doing that. Now, the blog. The blog, of course, is drbill.tv, drbill.tv, as it says there. Hold the screen. It's there somewhere. Anyway, you can see it. So can I, actually. But that's because of the way I have my setup set up. Anyway, speaking of how I have my setup set up, which is hard to say. Sounds a little redundant, but it's not. I am going to eventually show you my lighting situation. Right now, I'm going with just regular lighting. The light coming through the window happens to be quite good. So I don't have to do any special lighting. My lamps aren't on. My other lighting that I put in recently is not on. This is just natural. Yes, I like natural. Anyway, when it works, you know, when it's dark and you're trying to do a netcast, doesn't work. But I digress again. The point is, I am on a quest to remove myself from all things Microsofty. Yes. Now, for many, 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 many years, I have managed Microsoft servers, Microsoft file systems, Microsoft DHCP, Microsoft DNS. You get the picture. Now, I've also been a Linux guy for many years. Matter of fact, I remember when Linus Torvalds originally posted the fact that he was going to create a new operating system. I actually got that on Usenet. That was years and years ago. But at any rate, from the very get-go, I was excited about Linux and dove into it with both feet. As they say. Anyway, so I've been around the bend on Linux. And when I used to work a regular secular job before my retirement, I worked with Linux professionally as a system administrator, as well as Microsoft. And I even spent a year, without them knowing it, I spent a year with Linux as my desktop. And I was able to do everything that I did at work through that Linux desktop. But I didn't tell them. Because I'm sneaky. Anyway. So, my goal, personal goal, is to eventually get rid of all Microsoftiness at this location, my office and my network. Now, my network, I'm looking at my network rack right now and my server rack. It's a mess. And I probably won't show it to you because it's really a mess. But it is, you know, it's kind of a mixture. It's a mixture of Linux and Windows servers. But eventually, I'm going to be going all Linux with my servers. Okay? So, that's the goal. Now, in order to do that, I have to do something, or have done something now. I've successfully done something that seems quite simple. And I'm sure that the other computer curmudgeon who still works in the secular world as a system administrator would say, "What?" But bear with me. I still have Windows clients on the network here. And I want to have a file share that is shared among the Windows PCs that is not on Windows. Okay? That's the goal, and that's what I've achieved. Now, it's pretty straightforward. It's pretty simple. But basically, what I have is an Ubuntu server, which I'll show you in just a moment, and a Seagate external USB-connected drive connected to that Ubuntu server, and then I'm using Samba, which is the SMB system server to serve out Windows files from Linux. Okay? Fairly straightforward, but there's a couple of little caveats. One is that when you connect a drive to Linux, a USB drive, it will connect and it will come up and it will be there. Fine. But the next time you boot your server, it's not necessarily going to connect unless you connect it. Well, you don't want that in a server. Okay? You want it to be permanent. You want it to be part of the system. And so that was the goal. That's what I did, is I set it up so that it always maps that drive the same way, cleanly, and then that drive, that external large Seagate expansion drive, becomes the file share for the entire network. Okay? Now, bear with me. If you've already done this and you're going, "Dr. Bill, that's why even bothering showing us that?" Because some folks were like me and were like, "I want to make sure this is done just so, so it's robust and it works and there's no issues." And that's what we're going to do, okay, when I show you this. So first thing I'll do is show you the physical hardware. I had to purchase a NUC, NUC, Network Unit of Computing, from Intel. I bought it off of eBay, used. That was interesting because when I opened it up, which I, you know, I planned to do some changes in it, so I opened up the case, and there was an M.2 SSD drive, which is good, 120 gig, which is good, and it was just kind of hanging there. It hadn't been attached. So I had to order a screw, screw that down good, which the kit that I got, which this is the kit, this is the M.2 SSD mounting screws and heat sink kit from Qtiac, which I'm sure is just some Chinese company of some kind. But anyway, it was pretty cool, actually. You know, it's a neat little kit. It cost like $5, and it came with a screwdriver. There you go. Whoa, that's too close. There's the screwdriver that it came with, which is pretty cool. And it came with a heat sink, like I said. And the screws, and actually, it even came with posts and additional screws. So it's pretty nice little package for $5. Okay, a little over $5. $5.95, something like that. Anyway, off of Amazon. So I secured the SSD so that it wouldn't wobble around within the NUC. And I already had the Seagate drive because I had it connected off of a router. And the problem, here's the problem. The router, although it's a perfectly nice router, Linksys router made by Cisco, it would share files over the network, but using SMB protocol 1.0, okay, which Microsoft has deprecated for security reasons, perfectly reasonable. But it meant that you had to enable the old SMB in Windows in order to use the Seagate expansion off of the router as a file share. Follow that? Okay. So, I wanted a more modern implementation. And I didn't want to go with Windows. I could have put Windows on the NUC. But I don't want to use Windows. I want to use Linux. It's free. And so, I put Linux on the NUC. Okay? Mustache hair. Not good. I mean, I've got to be chewing that while I'm talking. It just doesn't feel good. Anyway. Overshare, I know. So, I got all that set up. So, I'll show you that hardware now. Okay, I'm making this with my phone, so bear with me. This is the Intel NUC. Below it is the Seagate expansion unit. And there's the router. And I actually have a OBData phone situation going on here for VoIP, which is totally outside the scope of what we're talking about. But I just wanted to share it anyway. So there you go. This is just one shelf of my whole rack. Okay, there you go. That's how it works. Sitting over there on the rack amongst all the other junk. But then when you boot it, it automatically boots up, of course. It automatically connects that USB drive and it shares it out over the network. And then I have it connected to my PC. Cool. Now, how does one do that? Let me show you the steps right now. And here we are on the desktop of my Windows machine. And we're going to be looking at a document here, linuxconfig.org, whack, how to mount -usb-drive-in-linux. Yes, there's a URL you'll, I'm sure, commit to memory. But at any rate, this is a really good article written in May of 2020, so relatively recent, by Lubos Rindek. That's a cool name. I like that name. Anyway, how to mount a USB drive in Linux. This is pretty straightforward. It even has a video here. But the first thing you want to do, now here's the thing. On my Linux server, Ubuntu Linux server, there is no GUI. I don't install the GUI. It's all command line, all right? So the first thing we want to do is do an fdisk-l. That will give us this kind of display. And what we'll see here is that /dev/sdc1 is the USB drive, okay? So now by doing that, we have that drive out there. It's actually physically attached, but it's not mounted, okay? In Linux, you have to mount the drive intentionally, okay? Which is good. I know a lot of people are going, but on Windows, you don't have to. I know. Anyway, create a mount point. This is the first step. Now, I did this with sudo because I wanted to be able to be privileged when I did it. So sudo space mkdir space whack media whack USB dash drive. Okay? By doing that, it creates a mount point under media. Okay? That subdirectory. So then we want to mount the drive. We can type sudo, again, space mount, space whack dev whack SDC, because that's what we determined from the fdisk space dash L. And then we mount it to the newly created media USB drive. Pretty straightforward, right? Okay, now by doing that, we can then mount, grep it, and see this information. Fine. No problem. But here's what we want to do. Let me skip down here to the permanent mount. We want to mount it permanently. So what I did is I did this command. I want to find out the UUID of that drive that is mounted, which is unique. That's what it's talking about, unique ID. Okay, so we then have that information. I could then come down here into a file called WAC, etc., WAC FS tab. Okay, now what that allows me to do is in that FS tab file, I can create a line of instruction here. And that is dev disk by UID, the unique ID of that drive to media USB drive. Now here, the example is VFAT. In my case, it's NTFS, okay? Because it is a Windows Seagate expansion drive, and it was already formatted NTFS. So we set this up as an NTFS drive. Then we can, once it's in that file, and that file is saved and it's closed, you can do a mount space dash A, which will execute that file just like it would on boot, and then the file is permanently attached. By that I mean that the next time the system boots, it will run, looking at FS tab, pull that information, mount the drive by the UUID. See what I'm saying? Now, again, this is all documented very well, and he has a nice video here of how to do this. So, your system admin guide to new Linux, linuxconfig.org, this is where the article is. So, make note of that, because that's a key to getting this set up properly. Okay, I just realized that I still had my lower third there all of that time with the drbill.tv website address. Oopsie. That's because I was so busy thinking about all the things I was going to be saying that I forgot and left it on. Sorry. I know you were probably sitting there going, get rid of it. Make it go away. Or maybe not. Maybe just sit there and went, okay. But that's what we're going to try to get better at in the future, is those kinds of things where I can think and do at the same time. It's kind of like walking and chewing gum. Yeah. Anyway, so hopefully you found that interesting. Not that the lower third was left up, but the information that I showed you. If so, good. I have other things that I'm working on. For instance, oh boy, I don't want to get into this too much because we're already running along on the show, but I have another computer down here under my desk, and that computer is running Linux Mint, and when I connect my Focusrite sound card, external USB sound card to it, works great. No problem, but under Windows, you can go into Windows and tell it, okay, this is a mono sound source because the microphone here is mono. This is not, it's one microphone, right? So that mono source can be split in Windows from the Focusrite solo unit into Windows, and you get stereo sound. Under Linux, when I try to use Audacity, it gets one side of the stereo sound because there's only one channel, which is reasonable because that's what this is, but I want to be able to split it. I found a way to do that, but I haven't implemented it yet. I'll probably show you that because that's part of my goal, to eventually convert entirely to Linux, and I got to work out these little details while I do it, okay? Now, I've done all this before, except I haven't used the Focusrite Solo with SM7B and the CloudLifter on Linux yet, okay? I have in the sense that it works, but it's only one channel. I want it to be two channels, so I want to be able to duplex it. Now, there's a way to do that. It's called the Jack Audio Component System under Linux, okay? So I'll let you know how that goes as I work on it. All of these fun things. Why do I do this? Because I know the other computer curmudgeon is going, why are you doing this? Because I want to get away from the slightly less evil empire than Google. I've already gotten away from Google. I'm using the Brave browser. I'm using DuckDuckGo for my search engine. I'm not patronizing Google. Okay, so the most evil empire I've already gotten away from in both Linux and Windows. Okay? So there you go. Hopefully you found all this interesting and enjoyed my shirt. It's patriotic, like I said. By the way, I voted today. Dude. Which was interesting because somehow or another they had lost my registration. I had registered, but it was gone. So I had to register again. And the guy helped me get that done. The poll worker. Bless his heart. Which is good. And once I voted, they ran the thing through their scanner. He even came back outside, because I did curbside. He came back outside, gave me the thumbs up that it did scan properly. Made me feel better. So there you go. Go out and vote. Do your patriotic duty. It's one reason I'm wearing the flag. Anyway, we'll see you next time. Remember until then that the doctor is out of here.
Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.